goes high towards Taylor. Walsh got that ahead of him though. On fair play, get back in again. And no offside. And Taylor has scored. And that surely means it's the Premier League for Swindon Town now.
Hello and welcome to episode 30 of the Wash Bag Swindon Town FC podcast. I'm Ron Smith. On our second of our special World Cup podcasts, we ask, was it really a surprise that England were knocked out following successive defeats? Can we now say that tiki-taka is dead after the Spanish join England on the plane home? And how many dark horses will actually make the last four of the competition this time? I mean, away from the World Cup, new season's fixtures have been released. Town have been drawn against Luton in the Cup, and there's still no new signings for Town. So it's time to welcome my guests, and first of all, good to see Andrew Still-Davis.
Good afternoon.
From Fleet Wiltshire.
How are you doing, UK?
Very good, yes. Not much to report on recently.
No, so been making the most of quiet periods while we can, because I'm sure once middle of July comes around, it'll be the usual madness that surrounds Swindon Town again.
So. It will be. A bit late this year, I think, with the signs we'll come to later. Also, good to see you again, Alex Cook, on the podcast.
Hello.
You all right?
Yeah, fine. Just, you know, I'm waiting for a jibe about tactics or something.
No, I did that last time.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to kind of...
You've got all new jibes ready today.
Maybe. And also the other voice there is Ian Watkins.
Welcome. Hello, Ron.
Hello. World Cup, sort of, what's impressed you most so far? Jumping straight away.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry, that was a bit...
That's
sort of
fine.
Unprepared.
It's certainly been, barring the odd 0-0 draw, it's certainly been enjoyable. I don't know, I can't really pick one thing out. Frankly, my highlight's got to have been the whole Jonathan Pearce goal-line technology.
That was hilarious.
So
that was in the game against France versus whoever it was.
Honduras, yeah.
I cannot believe that, I mean... On the game itself, you know, when he was confused about what actually happened, I don't know why he's confused at all because it's so blatantly clear. The fact that when he next commentated a couple of days later, he was still going on about it.
Yeah. It's about it wasn't just restricted to that one day, it carried on over the next few days.
Did anyone to actually tell him, take him aside and said...
I think he has clarified it now on Twitter, but at the time, it was very amusing.
I liked all the jibes at the time, sort of like Jonathan Pearce still confused about robot wars. Going back to quite well. I mean, Andrew, sort of, we'll go through some of the groups and the results so far, but, might as well start off with really England, really. Jump straight in there with that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, two defeats, we're out. Surprise. Or not?
No, I'm not surprised. You know, and I know a few people can say, of course he said it, but I said to a couple of people before it started that I didn't think England would get out of the group stages because it was, from my point of view, it was a fairly new England, not a complete new England, but they'd taken a chance on a few younger players than in previous tournaments. And I think the disappointing thing for me was not the, obviously, you know, disappointing they've gone out, but the fact that against Italy, they looked very good. And for me, it was probably the most enjoyable England performance I've seen at a big tournament for as long as I can remember. They weren't perfect against Italy, far from it, but they looked dangerous, they looked a threat, and they looked to go for it. Raheem Sterling, his inclusion for me was a very, very positive. But the disappointing thing was that fast forward to Uruguay, and they look, you know, they've gone back to the England of old, and
but
for me that was a disappointing thing, that they showed so much promise in the first game, and then Uruguay, they sort of went out with a whimper.
But was it because of Uruguay, or was it just us? Was it just that... I don't know. The way I look at England is that we just haven't got a team like Suarez, who will just on the 11 or on the bench, you can actually make a difference.
I think it was
so. You know, all teams need to rely on one. Come on to Messi later, but I mean, Alex, there was. Did you see much of a difference in terms of how England played or approached the two games?
Not really. I saw exactly the same England team as always. You said we haven't got someone like Suarez because we focus on individuals. We say we need more better players. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Not actually, why can't we do anything with what we've got? Here we are sat there going, wow, 2 years' time, 4 years' time, these players will come through. We were saying this. We beat Germany 5-1 and we went, ooh, we've got players coming through and they've got nothing. Look at them.
No, we've got a golden generation.
We've got a golden generation. We've got Stevie Gerrard, Nicky Barmby. And this is all we ever do in England. We just promise, oh, the next lot will be all right. The next lot will be all right. Because all the problems are going to be solved eventually because the better player will come along. we're moving in sensible ways with things at St George's, but we've still got miles to go. And it's just going to be the same thing as always. And we still can't control games. We have our little wave. We crash onto them. We go, oh, brilliant. Look at that. We're going to score. We're going to equalise. We've equalised. Now we're going to win. Oh, we got beat. It's the same as always. We can't control a game, so we don't.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know what to say about England. It's so predictable. And I'm not disappointed. Well, I'm disappointed, but you know, I didn't think we would get out of the groups. Come on to your point, Andrew. Mm-hmm. So I'm not kind of completely distraught. And in some ways, it was kind of it was okay when it was taken out of our hands with Costa Rica getting the win against Italy and put us out of our misery before us sort of going into the final game. Thinking about the sort of connotations and looking at the other results would have been kind of exciting. But I still can't see us. We would have beaten Costa Rica. I mean, they're a bit of a surprise. And the thing that interests me is that how they dealt with Italy best and what England did and how close we run them. I mean, ultimately they won that game and how much they limited Italy to a few chances.
Well, you say that they limited Italy to a few chances. They ran a risk in the first half. Mm. Balotelli got in behind time and again. I mean, I don't know. They held a high line. I've not only seen bits of the game most of the first half. And in that half, they held a high line. They got balls lofted over the top by Pirlo. I mean, Italy got caught offside 11 times in that game.
Mm.
And yes, to an extent it worked, but it was very, very chancy. I don't really see it being a model.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it's a model that we should follow, but are we just kind of just too staying too fixed and just are we negative in our approach at all, Ian? Sort of.
I don't think you can say that against it. Well, I mean, the key difference between us and England and Costa Rica is the way they were shutting down Pirlo. It's almost as though we were. Obviously, the tactic was not to do so, but whether we had that thing in the back of our head, oh, it's going to be 2 years ago again, he's going to run the show, and we need to deal with what he does rather than stopping him doing it. And it just seemed like, I don't know, I coming back to the difference between the two games, I just wonder whether they went into the Italy game thinking, we can completely go for this, the pressure's off. If we lose, we've still got two more games to go. If we really go for it and we win, then that's beautifully. Going into the Uruguay game, that pressure's on now. It's if we lose, we're out, or as good as out.
Mm.
And I just don't think our players were able to deal with that pressure. And you said earlier, we haven't been tonked, and we could have. Both games could have gone either way. But if you look at how many shots we faced in the two games, it can't be more than 5, 6, I think, and we've conceded 4 goals. And that, at the end of the day, it comes down to that. Because if we managed to score, we didn't look particularly threatening, particularly in the Uruguay game. But if we'd kept it solid at the back, we would be sat here going into the final game with a chance of progressing, I think.
Mm. It would have been unlikely. But, I mean, Andrew, we talked there about Costa Rica. Do you think that they are going to get that magical 9 points against England on Tuesday? It's complete surprise to everyone, including myself, said they'd get 0. I mean, I go back to all of my predictions on the last one. They completely failed miserably. The only one I predicted would be an awful game was Nigeria versus Iran, which turned out to be the case. But
it depends what, you know, what England turns up, because they could quite easily turn up and think, right, let's go out on a high, or they could quite easily turn up and think, oh, we don't really fancy this. And you know, Costa Rica, if you said they've surprised everyone, and for them every game is a bonus game really, so they're going to go out there and just play with freedom. Whereas you look at England now, and it's sort of going back on the point Alex made, there's already been sort of column inches filled throughout all the national papers about, you know, what England they would have in the Euros and then, you know, in 2018 even further down the line. So there's already sort of the vulture circling around the England camp, if you like. So, you know, even though they're out of the tournament, there's going to be so much pressure sort of going into the final game, because again, it's another England failure at a World Cup, a tournament. And yeah, absolutely. And, you know, are they going to pull a result out of the bag? And
probably not.
I wouldn't like to say.
It's a strange thing. I mean, you mentioned about sort of, you know, journalists sort of, I've read them in terms of looking forward about the future. Mm. I just don't get, oh, let's, you know, 2 years' time, let's build a team around Ross Barkley, da 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 da. They might be shit in 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, how do you know what they, hopefully they're not, for all of our sakes, you know, if they are good players. But you've just got to look at it on an hour basis, because you just kind of big up the own players' egos that they think that they're going to be in the team forever.
Well, Alex made a very good point when you said this is always, you know, this has always been.
I agree with Alex.
It always has been the same in England. It, you know, so, you know, we've been doing it for years. Every time we go out of a World Cup or the Euros, it's always the same debate and the same argument amongst the national media that, you know, this player is going to lead the charge in 2 years, or, you know,
well, this group of players, isn't it?
And, you know, Rooney's going to finally come good in 2 years. And
it's always the same, isn't it? We get a better manager. That's the problem. Manager solves
British,
the problem.
British foreign.
Exactly, the pendulum. And better players, and that will solve the problem. And all we do is never look long term, fix the system, decide how we play. I mean, we've gone into this World Cup and we're watching converted midfielders playing at the back for minor countries, and our centre backs can't defend a long ball. Professional centre backs playing Champions Medell, League. Not just Medell, there are
others.
No,
that's about others, but yeah.
Yara is obviously. Yeah. You know, Chile playing a slightly odd system, and I wouldn't want to try and replicate it without. I'd love to see Rooney in that. But they can defend a ball, and we can't even do that. Why? How basic is that? Why isn't that happening? Apart from obviously the Premier League being massively overrated, we've got too many foreign players in the key positions.
So, it's not massively overrated, it's kind of like the stature of the English players within the league.
Because they play in that league, therefore they must be good.
They're kind of seen as peers of, you know, Suarez, all these other players, but they're not.
Most of the England players, apart from a few, are the worst in their teams. Cahill.
I love a lot of stuff. I mean, it was Chris Waddle or some of the other commentators were saying that we're really having a go at the Uruguayan players because, there's only two good players there. Cavani, or judging them on whether they're playing the Premier League or not, forgetting the fact that all of their team play in the top leagues in Spain and Italy, and they have got a good team all round. You know. But kind of that constant judging towards the Premier League as a product that doesn't mean that they'd be good in an England team. It's baffling. Anyway, but I mean, in terms of long-term plan, you know, Greg Dyke and the FA do have one, which is to win the World Cup in 2022.
Yes.
In maybe Doha, in Qatar. Climate. Well, it's going to take a toll on all teams if it is there, even if it is going to be in the Winter World Cup. But if that is our long-term plan, which we're probably going to fail at, what hope is there, Ian, for England moving forwards?
I don't think there's an... Without being completely negative, I don't think there's an awful lot of hope within the next 10 years. I think fair play for them for having that target to aim for, but...
Seems quite unrealistic.
Well, yeah, I mean, considering this year we've regressed in the fact that we've now gone out in the group stages, you just think, can we seriously progress from here to in two World Cups time, not just getting out of the group through the second round, the quarters and the semi, and then getting to the final and then winning the final? Is that realistic? I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, you've got to go back to South France. Didn't qualify for 90, was it? Or was it 94? And then they won 98. They were rubbish for a few years anyway, basically. And they kind of did good, but they had a more of a long-term plan before that, and it kind of, the fruits kind of worked, really. But anyway, let's have a quick go through the... carry on with the England group, really. Italy versus Uruguay to go through. Andrew, any particular favourite there out of the two? Or is it going to be a draw and Uruguay go through?
I think Italy will do it. I have to say, I did quite enjoy watching Italy against England because, you know, I am one of these that will sit and watch any football game as I have been doing at the World Cup, and just to watch Pirlo alone, you know, the guy could play in slippers if he wanted to. I've been wanting to use that phrase for a while, but no, I think Italy will do it. I think they've got enough talent in their squad to go through. Whether they'll go any further than that, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I was troubled by their performance. I watched a little bit of the game and said they look slow. They look like they're tired. They look like they've played two games in the heat with the distance. I would be worried about them on that.
So Tim Vickery was correct. Tim Vickery, yeah, he was. Yeah.
They just lost it. They looked really slow and I don't know. Like it wasn't there.
In any particular?
I wonder. Between the two. Having seen Suarez against us, and you just think he has the potential to win that game for Uruguay. And I think, like we said, Balotelli got the goal against us, but blew numerous chances against Costa Rica. And he's, if you're weighing up the two sort of danger men, I think Suarez will come out on top.
Okay, so Uruguay. You haven't given one, Alex.
Uruguay.
Uruguay isn't. Sorry, Andrew. Right, Group A, Brazil, top, Mexico. I can't remember who's behind them, actually. Is it Mexico, Croatia, Cameroon out anyway? Brazil Mexico game was you know, a bit cagey, but they were both kind of having a go at each other at parts, really. Brazil looking a bit one dimensional, not really much up front on that game. Really between now, I mean, Brazil got paid Cameroon, so they're probably going to be going through. But Mexico versus Croatia, Alex, what do you think of sort of the Mexicans?
They're pretty good, actually. I mean, considering what was this, the fourth manager of this campaign, isn't it?
The qualifying head, four managers qualifying, in 40 days.
So, I mean, they've clearly sorted it out. The wing-backs work quite nicely for them. Obviously, what's his name? The keeper.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, he obviously... He probably won't have another game
for?
Like that.
Is he playing France?
He was at Ajaxio, got released because they went down.
Mm. Okay.
But it seemed like a bit of an odd deal anyway that he was ever there. He's apparently a massive personality in Mexico. Mexico, good. They obviously, against Brazil, they were rough. They did kick them a lot, but Brazil kicked them a fair bit back. Mm. But they had about 13 shots, I think, in that game, and they work hard. Certainly, he says knowing almost nothing about them, to be honest. Cameroon were not a test for them, were they? So,
but because they had a sort of players' strike before the World Cup. The players refused until a week before the tournament because of dispute about bonuses, etc. You know, they didn't have ideal preparations, but let's face it, if they're going to perform how they have performed, they don't deserve any bonus.
They're not going to get any bonus.
No, they're not. I mean, out of the two, Ian, it would be nice for Mexico to go through, but I kind of think for Croatia.
I think Croatia look quite good going forward. They've got a lot, defensively not brilliant, but don't know, to be honest, on that one. I'll put it on the line and say Croatia, but who knows.
Right, Andrew, do you know?
I can't say I know, but I've been very impressed by Croatia. I think they were very unlucky in the first game against Brazil. They were on the end of some very questionable decisions, but
I think they elbows, but
they bounced back in the second game and looked very, very good going forward. So I'd like to see them go through, purely from what I've seen of them so far. So, yeah, I'll go Croatia.
Right. Okay. Alex?
I think injuries are starting to bite with Croatia, so I'm just going to switch to Mexico.
Mexico. Yeah, I'll probably go to Mexico. It'd be good. I kind of get the sense it's just going to be kind of South, Central, North America. It's going to be...
It looks like that.
As it's going to go through the sort of tournament. The Group B, fantastic with the Spanish, who are going to get absolutely thrashed now by Australia in their final game because they really now don't give a damn about the final results. Yeah. I mean, Australia have really surprised me, and they've been so unlucky about how they've come away with no points. Tim Cahill's goal against Netherlands, that just to take that volley was perfect, and just to think that he's playing in MLS. Yeah. So it's he's still got a lot to give in international football, and he's Australian top scorer, but you know, it's just set up now to just decide who wins the group. I can't remember who the winners of the group face or avoid. Is it Brazilian group, isn't it? Alex is our resident Chilean correspondent, really. It's crucial, I mean, because Chile and Netherlands are both potentially going to go far in the tournament, but so much rests upon this next game then if it's to decide who doesn't play Brazil.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously Brazil probably will now top the group playing Cameroon. I do like Chile a lot. I think they are a very good team. They are really interesting to watch, but that back line is a bit ropey against height and the ability to use lofted balls, and obviously... the Dutch have got pace and a good header as well up there.
A very good header.
A very good header. So that would worry me a little bit. it's just hard to know how the Dutch are going to play, because they play two different systems. They play in a very risky fashion. They play quite conservative. They've adapted very nicely. Obviously, Van Gaal's a good manager, and Manchester United fans will be, I'm sure, delighted about how he's been able to change games.
But he did manage to change it the other night, because of the first half and the first parts of the game against Australia, that they were really kind of not with it, not at the game.
Yeah,
a bit slow.
Well, they seem to be matching the three at the back with the three up front. So Australia pushing three onto the Dutch back three, who were finding that difficult to deal with. And so then they had their runners were coming through from midfield, and the fullbacks were coming out around the outside. So that was quite attacking, quite aggressive, and obviously Australia are quite fit and aggressive. We've seen that. But obviously, as soon as the Dutch changed, went flat back four, they had a spare man, and they could start hitting balls in behind the foot. That's the Australian fullbacks who were coming forward, and then that's where the pace killed them. So I don't think the Chileans will quite have enough.
No.
Although midfielder, plays for Juventus.
Vidal.
That's him. Seems to be coming back to fitness. So in the first game he was barely there. He came off, looked very cross. But he seems to be into it a bit more now, and he could make a difference.
Okay. It's good to have a final game there that's, you know, they're obviously fighting for the points there. Andrew, on Australia, is Luongo in any danger of getting some game time?
Well, obviously Tim Cahill suspended, so whether they rejig it and Luongo gets a chance to get a spot in the midfield remains to be seen, but you know, let's hope so. Obviously, if he doesn't, it's been a great experience for him to be exposed to, you know, not only the players he's training with, like Tim Cahill, but, you know, to be able to watch the likes of Holland in that group.
He got free tickets to the World Cup, which is
absolutely. You know, he wasn't expecting that when I talked to him a couple months ago. So, you know, he's too busy planning his holiday to Turkey, so it's been a bonus for him. But, you know, it'd be nice to see him get, you know, even if it's 20 minutes, half an hour, it'd be nice to see him, you know, get some game time, and for us to say, well, there's a Swindon player at the World Cup, so it'd be nice if he could feature.
Yeah.
Especially against some, obviously, they've not been very good, but still, to be able to feature against Spain would be, you know, a proud moment for him and a proud moment for the club.
So. Yeah, definitely. Well, I can't really see that he will sort of play, to be honest. I think, you know, it's not a game that Australia can write off, really. A bit of pride to beat the former world champions, I think, and to really kind of put the nail in the coffin in terms of Spain. Sort of World Cup Ian.
I could see him getting, like Andrew says, 20 minutes, half an hour at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, by that point, they may well be 2-3 down, and the manager might think...
2-3 up.
Potentially, yes. So not ruling that out. The manager might think, well, let's give some of these younger players a taste of it. And like Andrew said, it would be not just for him, but as Town fans, it'd be a proud moment for us as well.
Definitely. I was a bit worried by one of the tweets or an interview that Luongo did, where he's kind of said, oh, it's good to be at the World Cup. It kind of puts me in a shop window. I might be at Swindon this year, but, you know, if another offer comes in, hey, I'll take it, sort of thing. But yeah, I can kind of understand that, but he's kind of thinking, you know, my needs to be a bit of a bigger club now if I'm going to be, you know, in the Australian World Cup squad.
I think
it's understandable. As long as we get some money for him.
The interesting thing, they sort of from our point of view, he, for a long while, we were allowed to take interviews he did with the Australian FA from their website. So there's a few interviews that we took, and he sort of said a few different things that, you know, he's focusing on Swindon and you know, very proud to represent Swindon. And I think it was in the interview we did for BBC Wiltshire that the sort of question was asked that, yeah, this could be a potential for him to put himself in the shop window. So I think, you know, he remains very committed to Swindon. But of course, with him being, you know, if he gets 20 minutes, half an hour, or, you know, 90 minutes against Spain and goes and scores a, you know, a goal or two, then, you know, it could be a different story. But
we'll take the money.
Yeah.
But as long as we can sign a replacement, which might not happen. Anyway, Group C, Colombia, Ivory Coast, really kind of bit of a surprise. I thought Japan would go through that group. They're to face, you know, it's Greece versus Ivory Coast next, which probably send the Ivory Coast through, perhaps, Alex, to next round.
I would think so. Ivory Coast are one of the teams I've only seen very, very briefly. In Greece, well, we know what Greece are like. They've got the only winger in the world who holds up the ball, in Georgi Samaras. I mean, he's a fantastic player. Says a lot about the sound of the Scottish League. There's me being sniffy about Premier League earlier. I can't see Greece beating them. It's going to continue their record at the World Cup, aren't they? Losing all the time.
No, they're rubbish. Greece, basically. no, it's... That'd be good how well sort of come to sort of Ghana did and others to actually have a, you know, that second African team sort of progress through competition. I mean, Colombia, they've had a couple good results, a bit closer against Ivory Coast, actually. But do you think they're going to go quite far in the tournament, just kind of just join a, you know, raft of South American teams in the last eight, potentially?
I only saw their first game and was fairly impressed by them. I know it wasn't the most difficult game. I caught the highlights of the Ivory Coast game, but they do have, again, they do have a good attacking players. Rodriguez, I mean, if they had Falcao, a fit Falcao, I think they'd have done some serious damage. I just wonder whether they... I think they'll get through. They'll get through the group, probably get through the second round, but after that, perhaps not.
No, okay.
I think the interesting thing about not having Falcao is when they have Falcao, they play two up front.
Mm.
Without him, they play James Rodriguez in behind, and he's been brilliant for me. I mean, his stats aren't actually great, but he does everything. He crosses, he tackles, he scores, he takes free kicks, he takes corners, he does everything. And I think pushing him further back would actually be detrimental to the team.
Okay. So do you think, Andrew, as well, Ivory Coast to go through that group, or are you sort of going for even Greece?
I could go and be controversial, couldn't I? But no, I'm going to...
It's a tournament of surprises, isn't it, really? In some elements.
Well, it's been great, hasn't it? Because, obviously, as you said at the start, whether you thought of it, I'll be honest, and I wasn't really expecting that much from it, to be honest. And I've watched pretty much every game because it's been that good. You know, there's been the odd game that's failed to impress, but overall, it's been a really, really good tournament. Open attacking tournament, as you said, full of surprises, so you can't rule anything out. But I think Ivory Coast,
but you can rule out a 6-2 victory for Greece over Ivory Coast, can't you?
Well, yeah, in that, you know, if you're going that far, then yeah. Okay.
I don't think Greece will score again.
So whatever,
let alone
until 2022.
Yes,
England Greece World Cup final in Qatar, probably.
With Samaras.
Yeah, Group E. I missed the France game against Switzerland, so you have to kind of let me know what happened. I've seen the highlights, but it looked a bit devastating, to say the least, Ian.
They were impressive for the first sort of 75-80 minutes, considering the fact they dropped Pogba, who arguably is their most influential midfielder, and still looked...
Why did they drop him?
Suspension.
He got one yellow card in the previous game. Okay. Before you were going to another.
But the fact that you had... I mean, Sissoko came in, Newcastle Sissoko, and still looked... I mean, in fact, you take out the fact they haven't got Ribéry as well, they do look another good attacking team. Defensively a bit suspect. You would think with... I mean, Lloris is a decent keeper. Varane's a decent defender. Surprised that Koscielny's not been playing, that they've played Sakho instead. But full-backs, Evra's decent. Debuchy can go either way, to be honest. They've probably, out of the European teams, have been the team that surprised me the most.
Mm-hmm.
And I think quite a lot of people were probably expecting to go there and something would happen and they'd all fall out with each other. And I mean, we had the whole Deschamps saying, well, we've been spied on by drones and all that sort of stuff. You thought, well, yeah, here we go. But no, they have looked, barring that last few minutes where they let in the two goals against Switzerland, they've looked a good team. Mm-hmm. But perhaps not the strongest group, and they might find when they come up against a better team that things aren't going their way, and maybe we'll see some tantrums then.
Yeah. I mean, that goal that was disallowed, but after the whistle went for Benzema. It's strange to actually see the referee blow up for full time when they're quite an advanced attacking. It's a bit kind of like a Clive Thomas, isn't it, really? But again, in the World Cup in 1978.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Disallowed goal for Brazil, wasn't it?
Yes.
Falcao, maybe.
Oh, show off.
Anyway. I probably got it wrong, so I'm going to point it out. Please do. No, it seems strange, because it was just such a sweet shot, and I thought it was confused whether it was 6-2 or 5-2, but...
It was a shame as well, because as you said, it was, you know, it was a really, really good goal, and it sort of put the icing on the cake for the French, and again, as Ian was saying, I wasn't really sure what to expect from the French going into the tournament, because, you know, again, before their first game, they the BBC dedicated a lot of their airtime to the problems of 2010. Obviously, had Thierry Henry there give his viewpoint, and you never know with the French. And there were problems before. There was a lot of controversy over Sami Nasri not going, and obviously the injury to certain players. And but no, they've been really, really good. Obviously, you know, the two goals they conceded against Switzerland that we disappointed with, because it was just them taking their foot off the gas, I think. But again, it was, as Ian said, it was, you know, it's not the hardest of groups, so it remains to be seen whether they'll be able to produce that sort of performance against higher opposition. But no, it certainly looks promising for the French, and you know, you can't really count them out of going far.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, they are essentially through because of the goal difference, unless Switzerland were to really thump Honduras, really. But
be more the other way around. Yeah. Honduras thumping the Swiss.
Do you think?
No, I mean, sort of literally thumping.
Oh, thump. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Kiki Taka.
I like him. What's he called? Costly.
Yes, Carlos Costly.
Yeah.
Carly Costly.
Brilliant. You know, sort of like a journalist sort of dream for puns, isn't it? Really kind of costly, costly defeat for Honduras, etc. But yeah, I mean, it's a tricky one for Ecuador then, really, to kind of try and get through. It's, you know, potentially the only group where the two European sides could go through to the next round. Alex, do you have a bit of a favourite between Ecuador or Switzerland? Not really, perhaps.
Not particularly. I've not seen a huge
Honduras
amount of Swiss, by the way.
Honduras, big goal swing?
It would be a big goal swing, but you've got the numbers in front of you.
They'd have to win at least 2-0. No, 3-0.
Well, there we go then. Swiss.
Yeah.
Coin toss.
Probably, yeah. Anyway, Argentina, Group F. Nigeria, blooming out. Just didn't see them. After that first game against Iran, they just looked... both of them were awful. But Nigeria just so lacking any options, and they're just so... Their decisions up front were terrible. But they, yeah, again, it was just a surprise against Bosnia. Again, that was one of the poorer referee decisions of the tournament, to disallow the Dzeko goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's clearly onside. Referees have had quite a good run, a little bit apart from those. Which game was the other one recently?
Well, there was Mexico. Obviously, had two goals disallowed right in the second game.
Yes,
Neymar. I haven't been watching this tournament. Apart from that, you know, we've had a few.
Yeah. A few. And. No, there was one. Oh no, of course it's this group, wasn't it? It's the Argentina Iran one, when Iran should have had the penalty, and that was such a blatant one. And because Iran just turned it on, I just couldn't believe how much they had so few passes, possession in the game.
Yeah, yeah. Lowest of all time in a World Cup since '66. Yes. And 13.
Are you watching the same little highlights?
I saw them. Yeah.
But apart from the save from the Argentinian keeper, it was just. And they just tore them apart, and it was just that final moment from Messi, just to kind of see them through. You know, was unexpected. Did you watch the game? Was it completely?
I didn't. I only saw the highlights, same as you. So I'll pass over to someone else.
I watched the game, and I have to say, I've watched both of Argentina's games, and they've a lot of people were saying beforehand that, you know, they were one of the favourites, and, you know, obviously they still are, and, you know, they could go on and turn it on. But for me, their first two games, they've been really disappointing to watch, and they've not really offered much. And yesterday, Iran looked really, you know, in patches, looked really, really good. And, you know, the game was a joy to watch because of them, really. And as you said at the start with Luis Suarez, it's, you know, whereas England haven't got a player that can produce a moment of magic, Argentina certainly have. And
it's good to see him finally doing the World Cup as well, because, you know, he's had two poorish tournaments before, and you know, Argentina.
He was young. It was 8 years ago, the first one of these poor ones. He only was only just coming into the side. It's a bit harsh.
But, you know, Pele did all right back in '58.
Yeah, Pele was rubbish.
But I just think, Ian, it's just a sign of a good team like Argentina, that they can just kind of grind out the results.
See, they were the team that I felt would win it, and the first two results have not been fantastic, but like you say, they've got two wins under their belts, and Messi has shown that he is capable of making something out of nothing, and that could prove very, very important over the next few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to think, people like Aguero, and Di Maria and Higuain have got to sort of, they can't really play much worse than they have done so far, and that should help as well. And they do have good strength throughout their squad. So
you want the team to kind of build as the tournament progresses. This
that's it. You don't want to peak too soon.
To win the tournament,
to eight these days,
it's a few.
Yeah, I think the thing with Messi is he's in the right places to win the games. It wasn't like when under Maradona he was lost and set adrift. I mean, I only saw the first game, and obviously Sabella got the formation wrong that first game, first half. But when he changed it, they looked considerably better. I think the key player is Gago, because I looked at his numbers. No, in that second half, played 59 passes, 57 of them reached the target, and 18 were to Messi, and 27 of the 29 were forward, which tells you the influence of he has on that side, passing that ball into Messi, which is where things happen for Argentina.
Stat.
I just watched him in that game and then went, I've got to look that up, because he played very
That's
well.
Good. So, in the final game, they got Nigeria to the side who wins the group. It could mean that Nigeria go out if the Iranians get a victory over Bosnia. But, I mean, Iran are the only... Well, they've yet to concede... No, that was the... Nigeria have yet to concede.
Mm.
One of two teams, along with Mexico, I think it was. A draw would see them both through between Argentina and Nigeria.
I think... Iran will struggle to play as well as they did yesterday, and Bosnia, feeling a bit hard done by, they're out already. I think Bosnia will probably win that. So, and you'd like to think Argentina would see off Nigeria, but say Nigeria done somehow. What have they got? 4 points so far.
Yeah,
and you just think, who knows?
Who knows? Yeah.
Again, sorry. I'm not very good at deciding this.
Move on to Group G. The game last night between Germany and Ghana was, well, the second half, I knew, was one of the kind of, you know, most exciting, most enthralling sort of, you know, halves of football the tournament so far. Could have gone either way, really, in the end, but you know, Ghana just kind of sailed off, you know, summed it up quite well. You probably saw it, so I won't necessarily repeat. You know, did you see it? Oh, Alex. So, well, no, Seydorf was just basically saying that the way that they celebrated going 2-1 up and subsequently kind of, you know, I can't remember which player it was actually, we went up to the camera and he was kind of beating his chest and saying, oh, you know, come on to the crowd. And they're kind of getting a bit carried away, and later on when they had numerous chances, didn't they? And, and they kept making the wrong decision all the time. So,
did someone say German efficiency at that point? Just to tick the cliche.
Tick that one off. But it was good to see Germany not, cause they completely railroaded over Portugal in their first game, Andrew. And it was good to see them, someone really kind of bring them back down to earth.
Well, yeah.
It opens up the group significantly.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The Germans were my tip to win it beforehand.
Really?
I've got a bit of a soft spot for the Germans on a sort of controversial. I just like the fact that, you know, I watch a lot of Bundesliga, and I just like the fact the way the national team have gone with the younger players, and I do think they will, they'll be up there this year. They'll be in the final four, along with Belgium. They were my two tips to go far. In the first game, they were brilliant, and as you said yesterday, second half was probably my for me the best half of football of the World Cup so far. It was good to see Ghana give them a game, and as you say, open the group up a bit more.
Yeah, it all depends tonight on the USA versus Portugal. Yeah. What tonight? 5 o'clock, whenever it is. Game. It's a strange one because it's been played in Manaus in at lunchtime there, so it's going to be a bit hot probably.
I don't think it is. Isn't that the R11 o'clock game?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm fairly sure it is.
No, it is. Yeah, I've got it all in front of me. Why am I just making this up? Yeah, you carry on then.
No, sorry.
That one, USA versus Portugal. Because I love to see Portugal go out. Just to like
do we know if Ronaldo's fit or not? Because obviously we saw him limping off in a training session.
Oh, he always does. Yeah. So they always do that. They all pretend to limp off, then they think.
And they have no Pepe, and has Morella's been banned after his swearing at the ref?
Oh, he wasn't swearing, he was showing wrong finger.
Oh, was it?
Yeah,
okay.
But Contrao's out, isn't he?
Yeah, of course.
The other good player.
I think if Ronaldo's playing, Portugal, I mean, there'll probably be a moment where he's given too much space and he'll stick one in from 25 yards. If he's not, USA have got that confidence of that first win. I mean, say a draw. I'll do that.
It's strange, strange group to call because, you know, they haven't played all the second round yet. I mean, Alex,
USA are just, well, hard running, aren't they? Just a big Forrest Gump team of lads who run without any particular plan.
But they're just going to kind of only played the one game, and we just gonna, it's going to be the real test today as to how much they've tired, like picking up some of the earlier points about.
I don't think they'll tire. I think MLS is, and you have to correct me on this if anyone remembers stats, MLS have one of the highest injury rates, one of the highest running rates of any league in the world.
Really?
They're very, very, very fit, but they are stupid. They just keep going, bombing and bombing and bombing. Well, John Brooks scored that goal. He couldn't even remember how to celebrate, could he? Just stared at the floor and sort of ran along. That was one of the weirdest moments. Really good, but I don't know, I just see a team that don't really know how to play football in the US. But
is that to do with Klinsmann being a coach?
Yeah, because that's what they said about Germany, wasn't it? But
yeah, we'll see. So, well, any particular tips then? Who's going to go through? Is it? We're going to kind of take Germany as a given because they've got to play USA in their final game. But
oh, the B team.
Yeah, Andrew, sort of. You know, cool to me. Personally, I'd love Ghana to go through, probably with Germany on that one. Not that I love Germany to go through, but I think that they will do. No, but I'd love Ghana to go through. But but Ghana needs to rely upon Portugal win, essentially, to kind of give them the strongest position to go through.
It's a hard one to call, isn't it? I'd like to see the USA go through. You know, that's to do with the fact that they are one of my sweepstake teams, so it'd be nice to keep that going. They'd just be, you know, because they're not fancied. It'd be nice. They were probably the underdog for that group, really. So it'd be nice to see them go through and carry on the sort of shocks of the tournament, the pattern of shocks that have gone through the tournament.
Mm.
So it'd be nice to see them go through. Obviously, it all depends on what happens tonight. But I'd you know, USA have got every chance of beating Portugal because for me, Portugal don't look. You know, they didn't look anything special in the first game. It just depends that, you know, they're going to be missing a few players tonight. It all depends how they bounce back. So
they're as crap as England, but they've got a good player, so it doesn't work. Still the analogy, but Ian, quick one.
Germany and Ghana, that'll do.
Yeah, good. Right, next group. Notes of time: Belgium, Russia, Korea, Algeria. They're to play their remaining games today. Big game between Belgium and Russia. Belgium win, essentially, they'll, you know, be going through to the next round. You like Belgium and Germany because the flags are very identical, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I presume. But I mean, you know, I've always thought that Korea would probably sneak in with Belgium in that one. Disagree?
No, I agree with that.
Good. Yeah. Right, and Alex?
I've not seen Korea, to be honest. It's the team I've got on tape waiting at home to go and watch when I get them
on tape.
VHS. All right, not on tape. God dear. I'm nearly 40, you know.
So that means you've got Betamax?
Yes.
Okay, anyway. Ian?
Belgium and... I'm not going to say Russia, because if they play Akinfeev, he looks like a bag of nerves, so I'll go...
Surprising.
Algeria, I'll go for.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Belgium, went against Algeria when they, you know... Brought him flaming, just completely changed the game. So,
well, they went 4-4-2 and started knocking balls into a big man. It was
worked completely right. So, where do we go next? Well, I mean, essentially, do your predictions change going forward as for the World Cup? Who's going to win it? Who's going to get through to the last four? I do think that there'd be, you know, Brazil, Argentina, but I kind of think that there'd be two of the other teams could be dark horses where you've got. Or Chile, dark horse, perhaps. I don't know. Or someone else, African team like Ghana or Ivory Coast, maybe.
I fancy Colombia to go a bit further. They've got a lot of. They're really attacking. They're really good fun to watch. Cuadrado adds enormous pace on one side.
They play Brazil in the quarters.
Are Brazil that good?
No.
No, they're not, are they?
No, but it's kind of that whole home, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that ensured that we won the World Cup.
Yes.
The home factor.
No, it does make a huge difference, doesn't it? I know that. But obviously, Colombia aren't exactly going to be fazed by playing in Brazil. They do it all the time. Mm. So I don't know how many Colombian players probably play in Brazil. It's a pretty good number as well. Who else am I going to pick? It's going to be Argentina or Brazil. Yeah. They're going well.
Is this still going to be an Argentina-Brazil final? I presume that you've always agreed with that as the
Well, I put that up on the first podcast. I'm going to stick with it now.
I know I wasn't on the first podcast, but I thought Argentina would do it. And whoever I pick, it won't be them, because I had, obviously being English, they've disappointed. I got Spain in the sweepstakes. So if I'm going to jinx somebody, let's say Germany. I'm going to jinx Germany now, because I think they might win it.
Okay. That would be... So they're on the... if they win the group, they're on the Brazilian side of the draw, so it would be a Brazil-Germany semi-final, potentially.
If Brazil get past Colombia.
Of course. So Brazil-Colombia. And then a Germany-Argentina final, maybe. I don't know. Anyway. Andrew, any thoughts?
I'm going to stick with Germany. I think they're going to do it for me.
Gosh. Okay. But who do you think they're facing in the final on the other side? You've got Chile, Argentina, Belgium. This all kind of depends on who. Well, that's on the basis that they win the groups. But
it'd be good to see Germany, Belgium at my two teams. No, I think both Germany and Belgium will go far, but I do think it'll be a Germany Argentina final.
Gosh. Okay. Right, well, moving away from the World Cup onto Swindon Town sort of briefly. Fixtures out this week. Got the excitement of post-World Cup of watching Swindon against Scunthorpe on the opening day. The big news, eighth Boxing Day game in a row to be played away from home against Walsall this time. Home to Port Vale a couple of days later, and then we finish the season at home to Leyton Orient. I've only had a brief look through the fixtures. Andrew, anything particular jump out? Tough months or?
I'm pleased that we're starting at home. For me, that's pleased me that we're starting and finishing at home. For me, on a personal level, Rochdale, Doncaster, and Oldham all away on Tuesday nights. Going to be a bit of a nightmare for me and Sam at the Adva and the BBC. So I'm not looking forward to those trips. No, I think it's a Northern League, isn't it? Obviously the Bristol City fixtures in November and April. I think I've got that right. Obviously will be the standout fixtures many fans will look for as being the two most exciting games. So.
Yeah. Anything? Yeah. It was an exciting day for you. Did you kind of like, you know, just have the computer on F5 refreshing the page?
I think I saw the tweets go past and went, oh, not home on Boxing Day. I think when I finally get, the World Cup's finished and I've watched Russia-South Korea as my last game on Sky Plus, then I'll start looking at a fixture list, because nothing's going to happen to it. It's not going to do anything for the next month.
No. And Ian, we've been drawn against Luton in the Cup. That's a way, isn't it? Yeah.
That's not going to be easy.
No, it's not.
Because that'll be, the middle of the first week and...
Yeah.
They're obviously probably still feeling a bit raw about how they got relegated out of the league in the first place, and they'll want to put a few teams in their place when they return. So, and you got obviously Paul Benson up against us, Jonathan Smith, and who knows who we'll have lining up for us.
It would depend on who owns us. One of the owners could be the supporter of the team we're to play.
Potentially,
So you'd quite like that draw, really. No new signings for Swindon just yet. It's very, very slow. Mark Cooper's kind of said that he doesn't expect anyone new to be at the club.
Which
was quite an honest but not unsurprising outcome, given on what's happening behind the scenes.
Well, that was news. I didn't listen to him on BBC, which it was news to me when I saw it on Twitter, because I talked to him the week before when we got news about Jack Bathroom and Connor Walden agreeing terms on new deals, because he said to me that there were going to be three or four signings, but again, he wasn't expecting anyone to come in until middle of July, so for him to say he wasn't expecting any new signings, but that something's changed between them was surprising to me. But
what about Troy's? Any closer to agreeing a team deal elsewhere?
The last I heard was that the club still haven't heard back from either him or Rafael Rossi Branco. I know Branco's still in Brazil. With Troy, it's a hard one, isn't it? He's, because of his injury history and obviously the wages he was on, you know, he's not going to get, I don't think there'll be that many teams interested in him because he's not going to be able to play.
But the problem is, I mean, they're both of them central defenders, so if we lose them both, then it's the continuity. Darren Ward might get a game.
Mm.
He's still on contract, isn't he?
Yep.
That'd be exciting. Another year older, and whether he can kind of keep up. Well, I hope he does. Really, we've got to, you know, if we're paying someone, he's got one contract. I want him to earn his money and play. Hopefully,
a bit.
Yeah. If you're listening, practice hard. Court case this week. When is it? 26th.
Yep. Thursday.
Are you going along?
I'll be there. And I'm hoping that it, you know, hopefully signals an end or. And near an end, because it's been, I've gone along to the couple of others and it's just, you know, you sort of go and I've sat there and it's all sort of depressing that, you know, we report on that and the fans have to read about it and not really the football. So let's just hope that this will bring an end to this whole sorry mess and the football club can get on and start bringing players in and look forward to the new season. So.
Okay. Do you think it's going to be a win for either side or a score draw? Or?
I wouldn't like to say, to be honest.
It's difficult to kind of say, oh, you'd prefer a certain winner because you've got no, you know, we've got no opportunity to influence.
Well, we know such a small percentage.
We don't know what's going on.
So
just want it over with.
Yeah,
either way.
Because is it next Monday the players are back in training?
Yeah, so five players apparently coming back now. So
is there that many?
Probably youth team players. So. Alex, any kind of, well, you said it's, you know, a couple of weeks away until you're really kind of going to get excited about the new season ahead.
Yes, I don't need to. No.
Cool. All right. Anyway, well, that's all that we've got time for this time on the podcast. Massive thanks to Andrew, Alex, and Ian for joining me. I remember to actually thank you and say that this time. We'll be back after the quarterfinals to look ahead to the final couple of games and reflect on Town's opening pre-season period. So, thanks for listening. Speak to you soon. Bye then.